Okay, so let's go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14. Let's start there. And in this, Jesus gives us a parable about a prayer that was offered in the synagogue. It was two people. And I'll just paraphrase it. You can look it in the Bible, and then we'll run into 1 Chronicles, and then we'll move over to 1 Samuel as well and go through the Hannah's prayer and David's. It says it's song, but it's like a prayer in a lot of ways, but we'll go through those two. But in that parable, Jesus talks about two people that go into the synagogue and offer a prayer. And one of them, you know, goes up and says, "Lord, thank you that I'm not like everybody else," and makes this public announcement. And then the one in the back doesn't even lift his eyes, and he beats his chest and says, "Forgive me because I'm a sinner." And he asks the question about which one of those are acceptable prayer. And, of course, the latter of the two is. And when you think about the acceptable prayer that's given here, the main comparison in the two people is a condition of their heart and exactly what they're trying to do with their prayer. We ran through Hannah's prayer last week so quickly that I really didn't have a whole lot of time to get into that. It was really, really more about how she developed her willingness and maturity to get to a point to pray like she did. And then we talked about that. And then this week we're going to talk about specifically the prayer and the comparison of that prayer to David. There's no real link between the two other than they're just two different time periods, and they're both in the Bible for us to look at. But there are different times, separated, I don't know how many years, but maybe 100, maybe 200, I don't know. Hannah was, you know, the mother of Samuel, which anointed, well, it could have been 100 years. It may not have been that much. I don't know, maybe 50, 60, 70 years. I just don't know. But it wasn't 1,000 years. So it was in line with some of the typical practices that they had at that time about how they pray and offer thanks to God. But one thing that resurfaces again and again in those prayers are the thanksgiving and how they rejoice in God and the salvation that God provides us. But there's a couple things in there that remind me of maybe the prayer that's offered in the synagogue and the parable Jesus provides, that it does not relate to a heart condition, but it does speak to some of the things we would try to do from time to time when we pray regarding our judgment of how others treat us or leaders in this world or enemies of ours, so to speak, are identified in the prayers that were given. Both Hannah and David mentioned that, and we'll go into that here in just a moment and read those. But let's turn to I'll get to it real quick here. This, I keep saying I'm going to bring my Bible and just turn to the pages, but I just can't do it. I don't know why. All right, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and I'll try to read this and stop as I feel like we need to stop and discuss this. Now, anytime, please, if you see anything in this that you'd like to talk about, please let's talk about it, because it's a Bible class, you know. I'm not preaching. So anyway, let's start verse 1. "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation.' There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so proudly. Yet not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Okay, in the first verse, she begins by praising God, exalting God. But one thing I want to tell you that I've read is my mouth derides my enemies. And I don't know if this is public or private, but my assumption is it could be public. David's prayer is very similar to this when he talks about the enemies of God and that he derides or that word means. Does anybody know what that word means? I think I looked it up just before and now I forgot. It means, okay, I know you guys are waiting on bated breath here. And let's see. Derides. Express contempt for. She's expressing contempt or ridicule for her enemies. In the public prayer that the parable Jesus spoke about, the man said, I'm glad that I'm not like everybody else. I'm better than they are. What's the difference in the two? When someone says, I'm basically rebuking my enemies, or I'm saying that I have enemies, but I'm way better than them in publicly like that. I mean, I'm trying to basically bait you. My question is so easy to answer, but tell me what you think about that. Anyone? Maybe. Their focus is definitely on saying to everyone, look, as a congregation, as a whole, I'm saying, guess what? We are better than those out there. Instead of saying, I don't agree with what they do. I'm going to tell you right now, my focus is on you, God. I don't agree with what they're doing. It's different than saying, I'm better than they are. Does everybody agree with that? Yeah. And so what I'm trying to get started with tonight is it's so important for us, public prayer with our family, even in private, not to feel like we're so much better than everyone else. Maybe we definitely should be concerned about sin and things that are not being done correctly. But to have an attitude of, it's a good thing that we're Christians because we're so much better than they are. The practice of prayer publicly can be, that's a line that's hard. It could be crossed very easily. And I think a lot of times, like, in our discussions with our kids or our family members, and there's something going on outside of our nucleus and it's not that great. And we're so quick to say, well, we don't do that. And that's good. You should say that. But when you say they got real big problems and we got it all together, that attitude, it flows over into what could be a prayer life publicly with our family. So our attitude should be, we're going to be very concerned about how we do things. We want to do what God wants us to do, but we also want to make sure that we're not downing anyone at all. We're just saying our position is with God, and we hope everybody else takes that same position. And I just want to make sure that there is a difference that we see. I know we do. I've got this majority crowd that's going to vote for me no matter what, you know, but there are some times when you can see that there are discussions made or the conversations made about particular things that you can cross the line and maybe begin to feel like you're so much better than them. And it shows in your actions and your words. And I think that it's a difference for sure. I know it's a difference in what Jesus is speaking about, where the two people are compared in the synagogue, and what, when we go over to Hannah and David, David says basically the same thing about his enemies, you know, and he says it several times in the Psalm, but what you have to just, you have to think that it's a position he's taking about where he stands in his life. Not that what they're doing, he's much better than them, but he knows and has the faith and confidence to know that the position he's taken is the right position, and whatever he's going to do is going to try to help them come to that position or defeat them in whatever way God allows. Does that make any sense to you guys? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it is a function of humility for sure. It's a blessing and a privilege to be called a Christian. It's an honor, and it gives great. It's great. There's great privilege that comes from that. And you really, if you love one another like you're supposed to, you want that for everyone, not just yourself. And so to separate yourself with lack of humility, like you said, you can't win them over if you take that position. And what happens is if you do that publicly, like in these examples, those that watch you begin to take on that type of model as well. And that's important for us to take a humble stance when we do pray. But to discern the two is very important. It is in the prayers that David offers and Hannah offers, but to do it in the way of a pure heart and with humility. So it's a great point. Humility is definitely a part of that equation. Okay. I'm going to get you to go over to 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. I'm going to try to read Hannah's and David's kind of side by side. Okay. So David begins by, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name." This is verse 8. "Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works he has done, his miracles and his judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commandeth for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion of for an inheritance. Let's go back to the beginning of this. There are two similar things. I'm going to get to where he talks about his enemies, but in the beginning, though, both Hannah and David, in their prayer model, they praise God. They begin their prayer with praise to God. They're both also thankful for their salvation, the salvation that God provides. So a good model for us would begin with praising God for all that he does for us, which is thankful, being thankful to his blessing and the salvation he provides us today through Jesus Christ. Those two things can be a definite good start to any prayer. Also, Hannah and David both talk about who they are. They are God's children. David acknowledges that the blessing and the covenant given was given to the children of Israel. They are specifically called out. Hannah also mentions her as one that belongs to God. Those are two very similar things that happen very soon in the prayer and the praise that are given. They also honor God. What they show is they honor him because of who he is. So they praise him. They're thankful for him and the salvation that is provided. They're thankful that they're the children. They're his chosen people, and they give honor to God. After that, the acknowledgement of Hannah's prayer throughout the middle and the end basically is just stating to herself and to anyone that may be listening all the things that God gives her or the people of God. And the same goes for David. So let's go back to Hannah's prayer. And that would be flip back over to 1 Samuel chapter 2. In verse 5, those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and all on them the world has been set. The acknowledgement of just how much control God has in Hannah's life, as it relates to the people, is very similar in some of the things that David is saying in his prayer as well, or his song. The control that, whether it's going to be God's will, not ours, or God's will, not hers, that is going to prevail. And I think it's important for us to acknowledge that. I think that the beauty of prayer is that if it aligns with the will of God, you can guarantee the answer is going to be, the prayer is going to be answered. And even if it doesn't align with the will of God, the answer will be in the form of, I don't know, a resounding no or nothing. But you can all have the confidence that prayers will be answered, especially for his people. And to have the attitude and understanding that God is in control is placing us into that humility position that we should be in when we speak to each other and to God. I like that they are very similar in the same, but they are very excited about the fact they're with God. The humility is there, but it doesn't decrease their excitement for being God's people. Any comments so far before I turn back over to David's? Okay. All right. Back over to 1 Chronicles 16. In verse 14, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are all in the earth. Very similar to what Hannah said about the control God had. Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. I read this already. I'll go down to where we stopped. Verse 18, I will give you the land of Canaan as a portion of your inheritance. Verse 19, when you were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy are in his place. Here David talks about idols. One thing I know for sure in the study that I've made so far is that there is one really, really a bad thing that God despises. And that's worshiping other gods before him. It goes so far in Jeremiah to say there's no real reason to even pray for people like that because it's that bad. And God is furious about it, basically. We remember that from when Moses was on the mountain and came down. They were worshiping the calf. It was all Moses could do to keep God from completely destroying every Israelite. In that camp, David even mentions it in this prayer, it's very important that we continually remember that when we pray, that we honor him with our words and our deeds, because in Jeremiah it talks about the fact that they are in an assembly and they are worshiping God. And when they walk out of that assembly, they are worshiping idols. And so it's just, don't even do that. That's a bad thing. And when we walk out of here, when we walk out of this place, when Jim's no longer up in front of you doing this, Jim needs to be just like Jim right here now, outside of the doors. It's a very important thing, you know, to not live two different lives. Hard for a lot of people to do, but it's real. And I believe there's a very big similarity to that, to what when God says, look, don't worship other things that have nothing to do with me, putting them before me outside of this assembly. Come in here and do that, and here is it's making me really angry, and you're in big, big trouble. And that's paraphrasing it very nicely. And so, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, I grew up in the church. I was lucky to have family that took me to a Church of Christ early on. I went through a period that I wasn't exactly sure this was the right place for me to be. I mean, I wasn't. It was a time in my life where, you know, you're brought up in one place, and the commitment for around you is there. The examples were there, but you know, there were people that would walk outside of these doors and be different. And I thought the commitment for me, you know, needed to be real. So was it exactly what I needed to do? And as a young person, a young, inexperienced Christian, you know, I had wonderful support group as far as parents and grandparents that would realize that, you know, there was a struggle going on, you know. And I can tell you that it took a little while, but I experienced other assemblies, and I tested my faith, and I am wholeheartedly believe 100% that what we're doing is the best way to do it. And we're going to fail at it, and we're going to do things we shouldn't do, but we're really trying hard to follow the way God wants us to do it. And I believe that about what we're doing as a church. And it's not just this group. If I go to another congregation, I test myself there and make sure that what they're doing there is what I believe to be right. Because at the end of the day, I stand before God, me. I wish I could stand in front of God for people in my life that have disappointed me, that I love very dearly. But I can't do it. It's me. It's me alone standing before God, and the only advocate I got is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, we have to do it the right way. We have to test ourselves so that we can stand one day and be given, you know, a good report. I mean, that's what we all hope for. That's why we're here. And, you know, so where was I? I just went away for a moment. But it is so important to not walk out of this assembly and be different. I mean, we need to be different because we're Christians, but we need to walk out of this assembly or any other assembly and do our best to continue the same effort that we're doing here outside. And I believe that what we read about over and over in prayers about idols, about God's unhappiness with worshiping or putting something before God, that infuriates him, and we just don't need to put ourselves in a position right with him being that angry about our actions. Amen to that for me. So, back to David's prayer. Um, Back up 26, I just read that about the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but God made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, and strength and joy are in his place. 28, verse 28. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in splendor and holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nation, the Lord reigns. Proclaiming God's almighty deity is something you don't have to worry about doing too much. That's one thing I can see in a lot of prayers that are offered. You can say it many times, and it never gets too old for God. He's not going to say, well, don't stop right there. You know, he knows already, but he wants us to say it so much that it's ingrained in our hearts, and if we do it publicly, it's ingrained in our kids that listen to it. They begin to pray for the things like that. They begin to acknowledge that God is in control and he reigns over us and loves us dearly. So I think it's one thing that you can count on doing as much as you like, and it's not going to ever get old to God. I think sometimes I think when we go back to perseverance, when we pray, requesting things from God, again, he doesn't need to hear us ask him something that we need. I think it's more for us to say it. But when you flip the script and God is being, you're honoring God with your words and your deeds, that's something he likes, I believe he likes to hear, and there's never enough of it. So it's good for us to petition God and ask for things, and it's really good for our anxiety to do that. It definitely gives us peace. But when it comes to giving God honor, you can't do it enough, and he likes to hear a lot of it. Any comments? Okay, before we go back to Hannah, verse 32 says, let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then it says, say also, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name in glory and praise. Blessed be the name, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And then all the people said, amen. I said I would get down to it, and when he says, say also, 35 is a continuation. Gather us and deliver us from among the nations. I interpret that as just what we were talking about earlier, is when you are not like the Pharisee that would say, you know, I'm glad I'm not like all of them, and more like the publican that says, I'm a sinner. And you cry out to God for help to deliver you from the evil one or your enemies. And you have to recognize, and you have to judge that you have enemies, and that's definitely something that you have to deal with. But the trials and tribulations outside that we have to deal with, this is the position that that David takes when he talks about the enemies. He wants God to help him have a victory over them. He's leaving it to God to help him with this. And anytime they ever took matters in their own hands, they failed miserably. And so the position that we take is, yes, we have problems outside, and yes, we may be doing the right thing, and it's better than what they're doing. That could be. But our position should be, we need God's help to deliver us from the trial and tribulation that we have when we endure such things. And that's a good attitude to take when we're praying, that we want help from issues that we have with things that are sometimes out of our control. That was the first bell, and typically I stop now. But we'll go back over to Hannah real quick and wrap it up with her, because I feel like we should do that. And then, so 1 Samuel 2, verse 9, he will guard the feet of the faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken into pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to the king and exalt the horn of the anointed. Again, that's the end of her prayer. David's was very similar to that, where, you know, he's asking God to help him and deliver him from any issues that he has outside of his congregation of people. Same for Hannah. Hannah's acknowledging that God will provide her the safe refuge that she needs. And that's a great blessing. And we see it again and again in prayers that we read, that at the end God will prevail and he will deliver us from tough times and tough people. So with that, we will end with prayer. Thank you for your attention tonight and your comments. Thank you so much. Let's pray. God, again, we continue our thanks to you. We thank you so much for the Bible and the many lessons that we can learn from it. We thank you, Father, that our faith is tested from time to time. And we pray, Father, that you're with us and you keep us and keep us free from failing you. Lord, we thank you for this group that assembles. We appreciate so many people that are coming and taking part in this. And we pray every blessing on all of us. And Lord, we ask you to be with us and as we leave this building and go out until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.